Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
This morning, we want to get into a brand new series called Papa's Gumbo. How many of you like gumbo? Anybody like gumbo? Okay, good, good. Some of y'all do. How many of you just like Cajun food, period? Anybody like Cajun food? All right. I'm from Louisiana, and so I love Cajun food. As a matter of fact, today we were praying before service, and someone said something, we're serving gumbo today, and Kim said, is it your papa's gumbo? And I said, no, I couldn't make gumbo for the whole church. And I said, we bought it at Sam's or whatever, and she was like, you need to get that junk out of here. If you're going to call it papa's gumbo, you need to have papa's gumbo. So I apologize to Kim for not having the right gumbo. But here's the cool thing. So I grew up part of my life in Louisiana. My grandfather, who we called Papa, he was a Cajun from southwest Louisiana. My mom remembers her grandparents couldn't even speak English. They spoke French. And so these folks were authentic. And so my Papa would always make gumbo whenever we would come over. And whenever we did, one of the things I thought was so interesting about this one particular meal is there was a few things that are always the same. You always had rice with it, you know. And he was Cajun, so he made his with roux, whereas if you're Creole, you make it with filet. So anyways, he made it with roux, and so we would have this gumbo, and he would just put whatever meat that was possible in the gumbo, right? And so, like, if he had shrimp were going in there. If he had crab was going in there. If he had duck or goose, that was going in there. If he had chicken, that was going in. It was like whatever meat, sausage, I mean, anything would go in there. And so every time I went to his house and we ate gumbo, it was always different because it was always determined by whatever ingredients were put in there. But here's the cool thing is that no matter what ingredients he put in there, it was always really good. Always really good. And I believe that God has created us a lot like gumbo. He has made us all different. We're all a bunch of different ingredients. But whenever we come together, it's really, really good. And the problem today is we're not together most of the times. And so God wants us to be together. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, let's read this real quick. It says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Let me pause for a second. Some versions say in harmony. Now, I'm not musical, okay, like at all. I can't carry a tune when I sing. So that's why whenever I sing, whenever we do worship, you'll notice nobody sits by me on the front row. Usually I'm by myself because they don't want to hear me. You know what I mean? But I do kind of know this, like with harmony, that's different parts coming together to make one beautiful song. And so whenever he says here, dwell together in unity, he's not saying how beautiful it is that everybody's the same. No, he's saying how beautiful it is whenever you got a whole bunch of different people coming together, it makes a beautiful song. And so he says, how beautiful and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon. I don't know who Hermon is, but he's got some dew going on. Which falls on the mountains of Zion. For the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let me just quickly point out here, it says that about Aaron and the oil, and sometimes that we look at that, and if you're not familiar with some of the Old Testament, then you kind of may not understand what that means. But Aaron was a priest. He was the first priest for the Israelites. And so whenever they anointed Aaron as priest, whenever they made him the priest, they would take oil and pour it on his head, and that oil signified a couple of different things. One of them, coming back to the New Testament, is the Holy Spirit and how it just ran down. It ran down his head, down onto his beard, and even onto his clothes. And what he's saying here is he's saying there's an anointing, there's a spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to be running down on all of us, and it happens. We get that kind of anointing, that kind of blessing, when we're in unity. And then it says that he speaks, God commands a blessing on our lives when we're in unity. Can you imagine that? I mean, think about this for a second. It's not about how many good things you did, how many bad things you did. It's about, can you get together in unity? Can you come together as a bunch of different parts and make one body? Can you have a bunch of different ingredients and make one really good gumbo? And if you do, God looks at that and says, I want to bless that. I want to bless that. And so that's important to see, that it's important to God that we come together. As a matter of fact, Jesus in John 17, his final prayer before he's crucified is this: I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. Jesus says this: my final prayer before I go to the cross is that all of the believers would be one, that they would be unified, that they would come together. The problem that we have is that Satan wants to divide us. And if you look at our world today, we're very divided. You look at our nation today, we are very divided. We're divided along the lines of politics. We're divided along the lines of race, along the lines of gender. We're divided along the lines of social status, wealth, even religion or doctrine. I was just thinking back the past couple of weeks whenever I felt like God wanted to share this message. As I was studying and just kind of preparing, my initial thought was really with the race stuff, because we've seen a lot of racial issues in the news recently, right? And so my initial thought was about race, but I didn't want to get up and just preach one message about one specific thing. I like to be able to broaden some stuff out. And so as I was praying about this and just thinking about this, we began to talk to some folks, and they were telling us about how their kid was in high school, one of our local high schools around here. And I was asking them, well, what's the high school like? Because, you know, my kids are going to get into that high school at some point. And what's high school like? And I was saying, you know, they were talking about there was some division there. And I was thinking immediately they were going to talk about, you know, black-white division. She was a black lady, and so she was talking about her daughter. And so I thought that's what she was going to talk about. She said, no, it's about social status there. She said, there it's not as much about what color you are. It's about where you live and what kind of car you drive and where your bus stop is and what sports you play. And she said, it's all about this social status. And I thought, man, we've got so many divisions and so many fractures right now in our nation. And then I got to talking to some folks and they were telling me about church. And I was talking to some guys that work for another church. And I mentioned this other church in town. And they said, oh, that church, they got bad doctrine. And they're all about that church. And speaking bad things about that church and about this church. And I thought, man, I wonder what they say about my church whenever I'm not around. And we've got all these divisions. Even among Christianity, there's all these divisions. And then we wonder why people don't want to come to church. Why don't people want to come to church on Sunday? Why don't people want to give their heart to Jesus? Because maybe they see a church that's just as fractured as the world is. And why would they want to be a part of something like that? We've got this problem with division in our nation. And that is Satan's plan, is to divide us. His plan is to divide us. Jesus spoke of an end-time deception. He says in Matthew 24, you might want to read the whole thing. I'm just going to hit verse 7. But Jesus says earlier in that chapter, he says there's a great deception coming. Many are going to be deceived. But in verse 7, let's listen to this. It says, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The problem here isn't just nations and kingdoms. I want you to look at this. That word nation there means races or people groups. See, Jesus is saying that in the end times, you're going to see a lot of division. Because I always thought nations and kingdoms, it's got to be the same thing. But kingdoms means government. And there's a lot of divisions among governments right now, a lot of problems. But then also the nations has to do with people groups. That there would be times when people groups would start fighting against each other over and over again. And he says, this is the end times. Don't be deceived during this. Don't be deceived. Don't get caught up in this. The thing is, it's what we deal with is not a skin problem. It's not a social problem. It's a sin problem. It's a spiritual issue. Paul said, we don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle against powers and principalities. There's a spirit behind what we're dealing with today. And we know it's Satan, but what is his scheme? What is his plan? Well, I want you to look at something real quick. I thought since we're preaching about gumbo and Cajuns, it would be a really good idea to talk about this particular subject, because in the Old Testament, they put like a picture with this idea of who Satan is and his plan. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah uses the word Leviathan, which some people say, you know, different studies, different scholars, nobody knows what it all means exactly. But some scholars say what they were talking about in the Old Testament in the book of Job, they mentioned Leviathan, they're talking about a crocodile. Well, as a Cajun myself, I like eating alligator. Alligator tail is wonderful. And so I thought, man, that's a great thought right here. We're talking about gumbo. Let's talk about a big old alligator, you know, and what Satan wants to do here. So Job mentions it. Isaiah mentions it. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it mentions this big old crocodile a couple of times. Job's talking about the actual animal. But then the Bible talks about it again, I think, in the book of Psalms. And it's talking about the kingdom of Egypt. So sometimes it can mean an actual animal. Sometimes it can mean kingdoms or governments. And then sometimes Isaiah says this in Isaiah 27:1. It's talking about how Jesus wants to defeat Leviathan. Now stick with me. I know this part's kind of weird, but it says, in that day the Lord will take his terrible swift sword and punish Leviathan, the swiftly moving serpent, the coiling, writhing serpent. He will kill the dragon of the sea. So let me point out to you something. Dragon in the New Testament means Satan. In the Old Testament, they called him Leviathan. So I want you to see something. There's a spirit here. In the Old Testament, it was the spirit of Leviathan. In the New Testament, we know it's Satan. But there's a spirit here, and this spirit wants to divide us. Let me show you a couple of things it says. Number one, it says that he's in the sea. In the Bible, whenever you hear the word sea, a lot of times, unless it's talking about the actual ocean, a lot of times it's talking about people, multitudes, people groups, races. So there is a spirit operating in the nation. There's a spirit operating among people right now. And that spirit is like a crocodile. It lies under the surface. It doesn't want to be seen outright. It wants to lie under the surface. I don't know if you ever watch documentaries or stuff. I love to watch documentaries. I love to watch anything on countries outside of here. Like, I love to watch some of the stuff on Africa. And you see these crocodiles, and they will lie just under the surface with just their eyes and their nose sticking up out of the water for hours and hours, waiting on the wildebeest or whatever to come down and start drinking water. And then they attack. They like to lie right under the surface. And I want to tell you something. There's a spiritual attack on our country today. There's a spiritual attack on our churches. And it lies just under the surface where you can't quite get a glimpse of it. But it wants to attack us. The other thing it says is it talks about coiling, writhing serpent. Other words say, they call it separating. And what that means, twisting and separating. And what that means is when a crocodile eats its prey, it doesn't have lips like we do and a mouth like we do in hands. So it can't swallow the same way we swallow. It can't chew up and swallow. So it has to swallow its food whole. But if it gets a hold of a big old wildebeest or something, it can't swallow that whole. So what it does is it will bite a body part and it starts to roll. You've heard of the death roll that crocodiles do and alligators do. What they're doing is they're trying to twist that body part off so that now they can swallow it. And I want you to see something. I don't think it's by mistake or coincidence that God refers to Satan as a big crocodile, big old lizard, because of these points right here, that he wants to come in just under the surface. He wants to get a hold of us, and he wants to twist us and twist us until he can divide us. He'll twist the news. He'll twist Facebook, he'll twist your friends, he'll twist your thought, he'll twist whatever he can twist to divide you. The Bible says in Genesis that whenever Satan first tempted Eve, what did he do? He took God's word and twisted God's word, trying to divide Eve from Eve from Adam, and trying to divide both of them from God. There's this idea that he wants to twist to be able to separate you. And look, it's not just in people. It's not just in social society. It's in us individually. He wants to separate you. The Bible talks about sometimes being of a divided heart, that he wants to separate your heart. He wants to separate who you are. And he loves to divide us. I think about right now when I look at the news, and I hate watching the news, but when I look at the news and I look at what's going on, there is so much twisting and dividing. And you look at Hollywood, and what did Hollywood do during the elections? They talked about the middle class, all those middle class, what did they call them, middle incorrigibles or something, I don't know. They said they were terrible. And look at those middle class people. Look at how these people are doing. But then in Hollywood, they don't have any jobs hardly, for women get underpaid, and African Americans don't get all the roles that they should get. So Hollywood's just, they're twisted, and they're twisting us. And you look at the government, what do? They're trying to twist and turn, and they will say anything. I'm going to tell you something. Politicians will say anything to get you on their side. That's why whenever we watch some of this news stuff and you see, they'll talk about Trump or they'll talk about Obama or they'll talk about Bush or they'll talk about Clinton. I mean, who you name your politician, and if you always look back at their past, you always see that their past, they'll say one thing, but when they're in office, they're saying something else. Why? Because they're just willing to do whatever it takes to get somebody, get that next vote, get that next dollar. And there's this whole twisting that the enemy wants to do and whatever he can do to divide us. Jesus said this. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And the Satan knows that. And he knows that if he can twist us and divide us. And so it's even coming into the church. Nowadays, what happens in church? Well, we see all this stuff on the news, and so then we start kind of separating ourselves. You know, we got to be this and we got to be that, and let's all gather up over here and gather up over there, and let's separate ourselves. And that's not at all what God's plan is for us. So how do we overcome this division? How do we overcome this big old alligator, right? Luke chapter 10 tells us the story of the Good Samaritan. And I want to read this to you today because I think this is going to give us a couple of keys to overcoming this spirit of division that we might have operating in our lives. And Jesus is talking to a lawyer, and as he's talking to this lawyer, the lawyer says, what do we have to do to be saved? And Jesus says, well, what's the greatest commandments? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's exactly right, so do that and you'll live. And the lawyer says this, verse 29, it says, the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? So in other words, this guy has not been kind to his neighbor. He has not loved his neighbor as himself. And so he's trying to justify his actions. He's trying to say, is it okay for me just to love Jews? Like, is that my neighbor? But is it okay for me not to love Gentiles, not to love people outside the Jewish community? And so here's what Jesus said. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and passed by him. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed over on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Let me pause right here for a second. It says that he was a despised Samaritan. Now, the Jews and Samaritans, I've told you this before, had a problem. There was some race and religion issues there. The Samaritans were considered half-breeds at that time. And so the Jews hated the Samaritans. As a matter of fact, there was an old saying that they had, that the Jews had during that time, and it was this. Now, the word Gentile just means anybody that's not Jewish. And so this old saying was, if you see a Gentile woman in labor, don't help her give birth to the baby, because if you do, that'll just allow one more Gentile into the world. That was an old saying. And they felt worse about the Samaritans than they did about the Gentiles. They hated the Samaritans. The Jews hated the Samaritans. And so for this guy, it says Jesus says, a despised Samaritan. I'm sure that all the people sitting there listening to Jesus talk, they thought he was going to say, and this godly Jew showed up and helped the other Jew that was hurt. But Jesus said, no, the Jews passed by. Religion passed by. Politics passed by. Instead, it was the one guy that nobody likes. It was the one guy that everybody hates. And he walked up. So if you're rich today, it was the poor guy. If you're black today, it was the white guy. If you're white today, it was the black guy. If whatever it is that you want to say is a division, it was that other person walked up and saw this man. And I want to show you something else. And I'm going to give you these keys right here. So the first key that I want you to see is, it says, when he saw him, he felt compassion. The first key we have to have if we want to overcome division today is we need to be able to open up our spiritual eyes. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give us what is called discernment. It's the ability, really, to see through the what's on the outside of somebody and see into the spirit of somebody. The idea of discernment is to look at the heart. And this man, the Bible says that he looked at this guy with this heart, because he looked at him and he didn't just see a Jewish man laying on the ground. No, he saw at this heart and he felt compassion for him. There was something that moved him, And the word compassion means something that moves you. And so he was moved to help. And what we need to do is we need to ask God to help us open up our spiritual eyes. Because a lot of times all we see with is these things right here. And so all we see is what's on the news. And all we see is what's on Facebook. And all we see is how somebody's getting treated on the outside. But we never have this compassion to do anything for them. We see the poor man on the side of the road and we just think someone else will help him. Or we see the guy on the side of the road that's begging for money and we think he's probably a con artist. He might be a con artist. But what is the Spirit saying to you about this man? Are you being moved to help or do anything? How is the Holy Spirit? How are you allowing the Spirit to move? So we got to have our spiritual eyes open so we can see the Spirit behind the problem. We can see the need of the person before they even ask for it. Verse 34, it says, going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay it next time I'm here. So 3 things I want to show you out of that little piece of the passage there is, number one, he had to get off of his position. He was riding on a donkey, riding on a horse, riding on some kind of animal. And the Bible says he had to get down off of his animal and go to the man lying in the ditch. Here's what we got to do. If we want to break the spirit of division, number one, we got to have our spiritual eyes open. Number two, we got to get down off of our position. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm a proud Republican. You know, who cares? Yeah, but I'm a Democrat, Pastor. My parents are Democrats. It doesn't matter your position. God's not a Democrat and God's not a Republican. So he doesn't care if you're an elephant or a donkey, you know? He doesn't care. You got to get off of your position. Yeah, but Pastor, I've been white my whole life. Yeah. Okay. God doesn't care what color you are. He created you. He's not any color, so he doesn't care. He created you, and he doesn't want you to hold on to your position. He wants you to get out of your position to go help somebody in need. He wants you to get out of your position to break the chains of division, to go down into the ditch to be with somebody that's hurting. Our nation is hurting today, and we're too stuck in our position to do anything about it. We can't get off of our donkeys to go help people. And the Bible says we got to get up and get down with somebody else to go help them. We got to look past our religious. You know, when I was a kid coming up, there's a lot of you that, you know, some of y'all grew up Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and whatever. We got an all range of people in here. But when I was a kid growing up, I mean, like, if you didn't go to our church, you probably weren't going to heaven. You know what I mean? Like, and our pastor never said that, but that was kind of the attitude, was we're the only ones that are going to heaven in this city. Now, if you were in another city, it was okay. They're probably going to heaven, but not in our city. We're the only, and that's this religious mindset that we start getting sometimes, and we start bringing all these separations. We got to get down off of our position, and we got to go help somebody. The second thing he did for him there, really the third thing in the story, is we've got to learn to heal, don't hurt. The Bible says he put oil and wine. What does that mean? There's a couple of things oil means in the Bible, a couple of things wine means in the Bible. One thing oil means is comfort. Comfort. The other thing one of the things that wine means is healing, because wine had alcohol in it, and so it was antiseptic. It would bring healing to the wounds. It would clean it out. We've got to learn to get down off of our position, see with our spiritual eyes, get off of our position, and go out and bring healing and comfort. Think about what we do sometimes whenever we post on Facebook or have conversations with people in the locker room or at work or when we do all of our stuff that we do. Sometimes what we do is, I think we hurt more than we heal. And you need to think about, before you hit send, think about, is this a word that brings healing or is this a word that brings hurting? Before you open your mouth to speak, think about, is what I'm about to say bring healing or is it about to bring hurting? Because if I can't bring healing, if I can't bring oil and wine to this situation, then I need to just keep my mouth shut until I get my heart right. And that's important for us to see today, because so many times we want to just say whatever we feel. One of the things I was telling some folks at prayer the other night is, you know, I hear these, when you watch sports, there's this guy named Herm Edwards, and Herm Edwards is a former coach, and he's always talking about football players and their social media and how they hit send way too fast, you know, and they tweet or they get on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, and they hit send way too fast, and he says, you need to stop and think before you hit send. And I think that's what we've got to remember is, what message am I proclaiming to the world today? Is it a message of healing or hurting? Here's the other thing that oil and wine means. It doesn't just mean comfort and healing. It means prayer and forgiveness. You want to know how to bring some healing to some division today? You need to learn how to forgive people. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they treated me. The Bible doesn't care how they treat you. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Jesus said, go the extra mile. We need to learn how to forgive people. And we need to learn how to pray for people. You want to be able to bridge that gap of division? Start by praying for folks. Start by praying for their blessing. Don't pray that they'll be cursed. Pray for their blessing. Pray that God touches their life. Pray that God opens up their hearts. And so we need to learn to pray and forgive. Number four that I get out of that story is, it says he took him to an innkeeper. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means we gotta take people to God, not to our side. You know, so often we try to argue with people and get them on our side. You know, well, I'm going to tell you right now, they need to be standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. They need to stand for the National Anthem. You need to get on my side. No. They need to kneel for the Pledge of Allegiance. They need to kneel. Then you need to get on my side. And all of a sudden we start having this side war of what people should be doing at a football game. We have this side war of what people should be doing at work or what people should be doing at home. And we have this war going on. This happened in the Bible all the time. The Bible says that a woman came to Jesus and she broke a jar of very expensive perfume and poured it out on Jesus. And his own disciples started saying, oh, they should have given that to the poor. She shouldn't have done that. And then we start trying to pull people to our side. But the Bible says here, he took this man to an innkeeper. Now, if you look at this passage prophetically, a lot of people believe that the innkeeper is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing that he does. We need to learn to take people to God, not our side. Because at the end of the day, God's not on our side. He's not on their side. He's on his own side. And it's our job to get on his side. It's our job to get on God's side. It's our job to be in the middle. I showed a video a while back of a guy preaching a message, and he talked about how Jesus was in the middle. He had a thief on one side and a thief on the other. One thief believed in him, the other thief did not believe in him. But he put himself in the middle of the good and the bad. He didn't take a side. And we've got to learn to take people to the middle. Take people to Jesus. Don't take people to your side. You want to bring healing to division, you got to take them to God. And then the last thing, and this is where we'll close today. Verse 36, it says, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Can I tell you what we need to do? We need to copy Christ. Go and do the same. I never thought about it like this until this message. But really, Jesus puts himself in the position of the Samaritan. No, a good Jew would never put himself in the position of a Samaritan. A good Jew would never compare himself to a Samaritan. And I think it's interesting that Jesus does here, because when you think about it, Jesus is the outsider. Jesus is the one that no one likes. The Bible says he was despised and rejected. Jesus is the outsider. Jesus looked past the guy's beat up, nasty life where he'd been thrown in the ditch. He looked past our sin into our need of a Savior. He looks past everything that we've done. He sees who we are and what we need. Jesus is the one that brings healing and comfort to us. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to take care of us. When? Until he comes back. So today, we need to be just like Christ. If we want to bring healing to our nation, bring healing to our races, bring healing to our social statuses, bring healing to our politics, we need to get in the middle. We need to be just like Christ. We need to have our spiritual eyes open. We need to bring healing, not hurting. We need to take people to Jesus and not our side. Won't you stand up with me this morning? In just a minute, we're going to do what we always do, and that is we're going to sing one final song. And as we sing that final song, I'm going to have a team of people that are going to come down and they want to pray with you this morning. So if you need prayer for anything, please make sure you avail yourself to prayer. Don't leave here today needing prayer. Get prayer, because we want to pray with you today. We want to help you. But there may be some of you today that you're struggling with some of these issues. And so what we want to do is we want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today and ask Him what it is that He wants us to learn out of this message. Maybe for some of you, you've seen some division in your own life. Look, some of us were raised where jokes were told and things were commonplace. Some of us were raised at a certain social status where you always look down at other people. And we need to learn to ask God to break some of that stuff in our life. Because He wants to break it. He wants to bring healing to you so you can bring healing to others. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Let's just pray. If you want to be pray on your own, and just let's ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to say to me today? What is it that you're speaking to my heart today? What are the areas of my life today that I might need to have transformed? Maybe today you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning, He sees you. He sees you hurt. He sees you broken. He sees your sin. He sees the good. He sees the bad. And today He calls you to Himself. The Bible says He stepped down out of His position. He stepped down out of heaven. And He got down in here in the mud, in the mire, in the ditches with us. And He wants to love you today. And He wants to bring you into His kingdom today. So this morning, I just pray over everybody in this room, God, that You would speak to our hearts, that You would change our lives. Help us today to be a people that brings healing to our community. Use us today for Your glory.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.